understanding the relationship between grace and work. When you look into the Word of God, there is a relationship between grace and work. One thing you should note is that grace is not an end in itself. Grace is supposed to empower for works to be produced. So understand this, that you were created to work. You are not a being that must exist without work. Work is actually what gives meaning to living. So if we do not understand what grace comes for, we may frustrate the grace, or we may have the grace, but the grace will be in vain. I see you accomplishing great things.
Now, your word in season.
Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for gathering us in your presence. Thank you for blessedness of your Spirit in our lives. For it is you that cause us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. This morning, bless our lives, even by your word and by your Spirit. Let the words that will be carved in our hearts be an eternal work of gold that would produce amazing fruits in our lives, even in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get into the word this morning. I started to discuss a subject, the relationship between grace and work. Most of the time, if you don't have proper understanding of these two, it will look as if they are in conflict, but they are not. And we came to the realization that grace is actually for work. And when you have been graced by God, then it must show in your works. Hallelujah. And we saw a lot of things. Today, let's proceed. Let's add to what we have been studying so far. Amen. So last time we met, I was explaining that grace is a gift or a special endowment from God, and work is man's effort, the effort of man to produce, his labor, his toil. And most of the time when we see success or people are successful in what they do, sometimes we tend to think, you know, the way the statements are made is like, grace has made it so. Then we tend to make it look like they did not do anything to make it happen. But it's never like that when you look into God's word. Everyone that was graced was expected to produce works. So I pray that you will be so graced and you will have works to show. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And we realize that God is a giver of grace. God, he giveth more grace. Grace for everything. I'm not just talking about grace to overcome fornication or adultery. The fact is that sin is not even in my mind as I'm talking. I'm talking about producing great things, good works that are profitable unto men. So there's grace to build a big company. There is grace to own big things and do big things in the name of Jesus. Yes. Grace for greater accomplishments. Not sin. It's not about sin at all. He giveth more grace. So when we read in 2 Corinthians, I love that scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. He says, and God is able to make all grace. All grace. Not just some. All grace. So grace for academic excellence. All grace. Grace to overcome difficulties and challenges. All grace. Grace to overcome sin. The one that normally comes into people's mind because they are sin conscious. All grace. To be very frank, I think you should be able to function so well as a child of God that you are not conscious of sin. Because that's not your nature. It's almost like the moment we talk about things like grace, the thing that comes into our mind is sin. We are free from sin. Say, I'm free from sin. Sin is not a problem in my life. That's right. Yeah. So he's able to make all grace abound. You see, abound in increasing measure toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency. And you know, our sufficiency is of God. Our sufficiency is of God. Not of ourselves. All grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, say all round, may abound to every good work. May we have some great politicians here. Amen. For he maketh all, he's able to make all grace abound. All grace. Hallelujah. So do not shy away from great things, because God is able to make grace abound, all grace abound unto you. I see great academic excellence in the name of the Lord Jesus. I see people finishing their first degree with excellence, masters with excellence, PhDs with excellence. I see people building great establishments with excellence. Amen. I see you attending to your work with excellence. Amen. He's able to make all grace abound. So the reason for grace abounding is for abounding in good works. So you must appreciate that. So that we don't rubbish success. So, you know, sometimes we can say things that rubbish people's success. And it's like, do you understand? So it's almost like they didn't do anything. Be careful you don't rubbish success. Hallelujah. So we looked at why it's important to appreciate grace. Because for us as believers, we believe whatever we become by the grace of God. We become by the grace of God. But grace is not an end in itself. It's supposed to make you produce works. So 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10, we read that scripture concerning Paul the apostle. After 2,000 years, we still read of Paul and we are amazed of his work that he did. But these words didn't just come about by itself. Next week, I'm going to discuss embracing pressure that work brings. Embracing the pressure that work brings. Many people run away from pressure, but pressure is important. The positive side of pressure to make you great. You see, we live in a rest conscious society. Everybody wants holiday. Everybody likes, if there are two holidays in succession, everybody is happy, because you see, people love resting than working. I pray after I have finished with you, you will love working more than resting. Hallelujah. So, in 1 Corinthians 15, 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So we become what we become by the grace of God. We as children of God accept that. But he says something. He says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. It was not useless. I was so determined to put the grace to work. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So what you see is not because I was graced, but because I decided to work, labor, toil, abundantly than they all. That is why I have more books in the Bible than Peter. That's exactly what he's saying. That's why what you consider scripture in the New Testament has survived the test of time, and you still read it as scripture from Paul, letters written by the hands of Paul. Why has his work so prolonged even to our day? He labored more abundantly than they all. So much that the senior apostle makes reference to him and says some of his letters are difficult to understand. Peter has two to his name. Paul has how many? I labored more. I was able to plant more churches. Not because I was just graced, sitting down relaxing. I went about. May you be baptized with grace for hard work. Hard. Hallelujah. So today I just want to continue with understanding work. And I want to handle some misconceptions about work that people have. I pray that if you have some of these misconceptions, they will be wiped off today. And you will be awakened to the reason why you must work and work hard. Praise God. Please never forget, the Bible says that the wealth of rich men, they are their strong city. But it says the distraction of the poor is their poverty. Decide to be wealthy. It's a decision. I think you don't like my message this morning. Did you like my message this morning? You say, no, Pastor, preach salvation. Look, this is salvation I'm preaching. I've been preaching salvation always. Glory. So the Lord Jesus was a worker. Understand that. Proverbs 10:15, he says what? The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The distraction of the poor is their poverty. May you not be considered as one of the poor for your poverty to destroy you. No. God forbid. Amen. Now, understand this, that you see, most people want a job. I'm speaking as a preacher, not a motivational speaker, please. Though there's motivation is what I'm saying. I'm preaching Bible. They want a job, but they don't like the work of the job. Because they want the paycheck, not the exertion of energy that brings meaning to life. And when you look into the scripture, that is not how God's wisdom is about work. You are not supposed to be a good job keeper. You are supposed to be a good worker. And we see that is a problem. Many people have jobs, but they don't enjoy what they do. Frustrated by their work. I pray you will enjoy your work. You will. Oh, your amen is looking for paracetamol. Yeah. You must not have a negative view about work. You must not. You must not. Understand that you can have wild dreams, but it will take a worker to bring a dream to pass. So as young as we are, don't sit down having so many dreams and not working to making those dreams a reality. You must embrace work. And I mean working hard and diligently. Is somebody listening at all? Now, everything we are enjoying in life is a fruit, or they are fruits of other people's willingness to be responsible for the possibilities that were hidden in them. Everything. So you must appreciate the fact that whatever exists is somebody's work that you're enjoying. Now let's go. There are three misconceptions, and I want to bring them to your mind so that it will help you awaken from any state of slumber and take your work serious. The first misconception is work is a curse, rest is a blessing. It's a misconception. It's a misconception. Rest only becomes a blessing when you have finished working. If rest precedes work, it becomes a curse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I pray that as grace is received, you will not relax in working. If somebody is sitting by, tap the person and say, the message is for you. Don't think it's not for you. It's for you. Hallelujah. So the importance of, you must understand the importance of work. It's very important. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 2 verse 2. What does it say? So most people, they prefer rest and relaxation to a good day's work. They have worked and they finished the work they were doing. I pray you open up your hearts to hear what I say. And on the seventh day ended his work, God, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Here, I want you to see, he didn't say God was tired, so he rested. He ended, he finished it. All right? So, his work, he had a beginning and an end of that work that he wanted to accomplish. And after that, he rested. You see, when you like resting, he worked 6 days. Then on the seventh, he rested. So what is work ratio to rest? 6:1. People of God, some people want 6:6. 1:6. Tap somebody for me and ask the person for me, what is your ratio? Your work and your rest, what is the ratio? Exodus 23 verse 12. What does it say? 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. He gave the same pattern to man. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. He says that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. So you see, rest is to refresh you to get back to work. You were created to work, not to rest. So please, rest is not better than work. Work is better than rest. Yes. That is why I said I'm discussing the misconceptions. After we are through with this, you will never wish for a holiday again. When you rest, you must be refreshed to do more work. People of God. So, remember this. God does not bless rest. He blesses our work. So, rest becomes a blessing when you have worked and worked hard. You have labored and toiled. And now you deserve to be given some rest to refresh you for more work. People of God, I see wonderful, great, intelligent workers here. You will be the reason for Ghana to celebrate. You will be the reason for your company to celebrate. You will be the reason for Africa to celebrate. Yeah, it is only in Africa. We are happy when Monday is holiday. I pray that a lot of you will come out of this job consciousness and be workers. Many have jobs, they are not working. Oh, I want to raise a different group of people. And I pray the Spirit of God will help me. Hallelujah. Now, he blesses the work of our hands. Deuteronomy chapter 16. So please, the first misconception, get out of that thought that makes you feel that resting is better than working. I tell you, working is better. Rest will never produce personal fulfillment and satisfaction. Rest. The fact is that when you rest too much, you realize that you start to lose that sense of satisfaction. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 16:15. What does it say? It says, 7 days shall thou keep a solemn feast. Then it says, unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. The works of thine hands he shall bless. Not rest. He blesses the work of your hands. I see blessings coming on the work of your hands. Amen. When you are resting, what blessing is there? That he says, therefore, thou shalt surely rejoice. People of God, tell somebody for me, if you are unfulfilled, you are probably resting too much. If there's this feeling of unfulfillment, dissatisfaction about life and about things in your life, it is probably you are resting too much. Resting too much. You can write this down. Work is the energy that keeps you alive. Work is what? The energy that keeps you alive. It is work that gives life meaning, and you must be a hard worker. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Proverbs 10, 4. What does he say? He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent, the hard worker, the intelligent worker, maketh rich. God bless you for listening to today's message. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say this short confession after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died, and on the third day, you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Even from this day forth, precious Spirit of God, help me to live for the Lord all the days of my life. God bless you. If you said that confession, you are a child of God. Make sure you are planted in a church that will raise you in the Word of God so that you become a tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you have been refreshed by the Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Facebook, Telegram, YouTube, podcast, or Podcast Addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd's Stream Church. You may also call our helpline for the messages and the books of Pastor Christian and for pure pastoral counsel and any other inquiry on 0540-953-017, 0540-953-017. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, Edum, right opposite the GRA building behind the Ajaba building. My Pastor Christian also comes your way with Shepherd's Stream prayer session this and every Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church premise at Edum. You can also join in the prayer session via Facebook Live at My Pastor Christian. Come, pray, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.